There was an art to blotting away tears before they could spill over and ruin your mascara. I wasn't sure what it said about me that I'd mastered that particular art years ago. Honestly, at this point, I practically held a doctorate in the subject. My reflection stared back at me from the long mirror in the ladies' room. Not for the first time, I wondered whether the companies that manufactured fluorescent light bulbs for public restroom vanities designed them specifically to make you look as awful as possible. Surely, with everything science had achieved, it should be easy enough to make lighting that didn't wash you out and accentuate the dark circles under your eyes. But if that were the case, why continue to sell bulbs that made people look like corpses? Fresh tears welled, and I cursed myself as I soaked them up from the corners of my eyes with the twisted corner of a square of toilet paper. The mascara might survive, but at this rate, I was going to look like I'd caught a red-eye flight from San Francisco, or maybe spent the last few hours smoking pot. And that wouldn't do. "Get a grip, Vonnie," I muttered, looking determinedly toward the ceiling until my eyeballs ached. It was an old trick, something to do with eye movements tricking the brain into shutting off negative emotions, or so I'd read in a surprisingly on-point clickbait article once upon a time. Useful stuff for women in stressful business situations where tears could be detrimental to one's career prospects. Mind you, the authors of that article almost certainly hadn't had my current situation in mind when they wrote it. The restroom ceiling was nice. From what I'd seen so far, everything in the club was nice. Classy. Like maybe the owner cared about more than how much money he could wring out of the place by charging $15 for an appletini on top of a $10 cover. I tried to see that as an encouraging sign. When my eyes no longer felt like overfilled water balloons, I returned my gaze to the mirror. Yep, they were bloodshot. Though it probably wouldn't be too noticeable to someone who wasn't looking for it. I hoped. Otherwise, I looked okay. Fluorescent light bulb zombie effect aside. Red hair still caught up in an elegant twist, a few strands escaping artfully to frame my face. Freckles, successfully hidden by foundation and concealer, stylish cocktail dress way above my pay grade, courtesy of my new boss, Guillermo. My cell phone buzzed in my handbag, and I winced. A quick glance confirmed that, yes, the scary guys my deadbeat ex owed money to had finally managed to track down my new number. Terrific. I couldn't turn off the phone completely, in case my kid needed to get a hold of me while I was working tonight. But I did put it on vibrate. With a deep breath, I met my own gaze in the mirror and tried to pretend I didn't look nervous. This wasn't forever, just for a couple of months, maybe, until I could get enough cash together to climb out of the hole that Richard had dug by borrowing money from the wrong kind of people. The hole he'd dug for both of us, really. Anyway, the owner of the Vixen's Den obviously looked after his club well. Maybe that meant he'd also play nicely with the professional escort he'd hired for the night, especially if that escort didn't let on that this was her first ever gig, and that she was scared out of her freaking mind. The Den popped onto the St. Louis nightclub scene about 6 months ago, according to the gossip I'd managed to garner from the handful of people I knew who had the time, money, and inclination to frequent trendy clubs. The place was all about jazz, blues, and expensive top-shelf liquor, apparently. It was popular with successful black business people, though honestly, the clientele seemed pretty diverse as I made my way toward the elevators in the back. There, a very tall, very wide man wearing a very nice suit stood between the two sets of double doors. His posture screamed security.